Today on Brave, Jeff Schwarzentraub teaches from the Gospel of John.
Jesus is telling this woman, believe me now, woman, I'm telling you, an hour isn't coming, and it's right now when people won't worship in this mountain or that mountain. They're not going to worry about what denomination they are because it doesn't matter, because there's no denominations in heaven. There's no Brave church in heaven. There's the church of Jesus Christ with a bunch of people that are going to be worshiping God from every tribe, tongue, and nation. And when you see his glory from the inside out, you can't help but worship him.
Welcome to Brave, the Bible teaching ministry of Jeff Schwarzentraub, founder and lead pastor of Brave Church in Denver, Colorado. As Christians, giving God our praise shouldn't be a shallow, routine ritual, but instead something deeply spiritual. So today, Pastor Jeff helps us shift our perspective on worship so we can learn more about what it means to be an authentic disciple of Jesus Christ. And let me remind you, the place to go to find all of these Bible lessons is our website, bravemedia.online. Recently, we've been examining a powerful encounter in the Gospel of John between Jesus and the woman at the well. When the woman asked Jesus where she should go to worship, Jesus explained the heart of worship. Now, here's Pastor Jeff with today's lesson, Religious to Relishing.
Let me tell you what worship is. We're going to talk about 4 points this morning. And the first is this: worship is giving adoration to God for the good news of your salvation. Worship is when, in my heart, from the inside out, I am giving God praise, glory, honor, adoration, because he is worthy of all my praise. I want to bring God what he deserves because he deserves my best at all times. Worship is giving God adoration for the good news of his son, Jesus Christ, and our salvation. Secondly, it's this: worship is giving adoration with great fervency and intensity. With great fervency and intensity. After he tells her, you don't know what you're worshiping, just like a lot of people in our culture, they don't know what they're worshiping, they're just going through the motions. Jesus said, but an hour is coming, and now is, it's right now, when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth. For such people, the Father seeks to be his worshipers. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. You will never see God the Father when you die. God is spirit, right? Jesus Christ is God's eternal son. That's who you'll see. Holy Spirit, spirit. God is spirit. Those who worship him must worship him in spirit and truth. And the spirit here is talking about the internal fervency and passion with which you worship. This is the kind of worshipers that the Father seeks. You see, you ask me, Pastor Jeff, are we a seeker church? I would say, yeah, it depends on how you define it. Yeah, we're a seeker church. We're trying to be the kind of church that the Father would seek. We're trying to be the kind of church that God would look down from heaven and said, that's what I'm talking about. These people worship me with fervency, and they worship me in truth. And it says, this is how you what? Must worship him. Anyone who wants to follow after Jesus must take up his cross, deny himself, and follow me. Notice what he says in this verse. He says this, but an hour is coming and now is when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth. For such people, the Father seeks to be his worshipers. God is spirit, and those who worship him, there's the word, must worship in spirit and truth. This is how God demands our worship, spirit and truth. Well, Jeff, it's just hard, I mean, to have fervency. Like, what's that? What do you mean by fervency? What's it mean? Let me tell you. Right now, all across our country, there are cathedrals that are beginning opening. They're starting preview services. The National Football League calls it the preseason. There are huge cathedrals where people will go and give allegiance and worship and praise with everything they have on any given Sunday. It even happens here in Denver. And the allegiance is so strong that it's not like, hey, what time does it start? What time does it end? If kickoff for this cathedral starts at 1:20, people get up at 8 in the morning. Then they dress in clothes that are appropriate for where they're going to go worship. Rain, shine, sleet, snow, we're there. It don't matter. It's on the calendar. It's worship. And then they get in their car. And most people don't live right across from the stadium, so they drive miles and miles. Some people from out of state come. They pay exorbitant amounts for their tickets to get to this event. Do they arrive right at kickoff time? Oh, heck no. They get there a couple, 3 hours early, because when you get there, then you got to set up a stage so you can cook food so that you can be physically prepared for the worship that you're about ready to experience. And when you walk in, you start high-fiving other people that share your same allegiance, because there's such intensity and there's such program about what's ready to happen. And when the team comes on the field, people cheer and they shout and they go mad. Oftentimes, this event will go into what's called overtime, which is extra worship. And during this time, nobody leaves the stadium. And then when the game ends, guess what they do? They have to walk the mile back to their car to get in their car to walk to drive the 30 minutes back to where they were. And if they're true worshipers, they get home and watch the NFL Network and ESPN to see what other pundits are saying about the worship that they had. But that's not enough, because on Monday they form small groups at work and they get together and talk about the worship service that they just experienced and where worship's going to take place next week and if they're able to get to that cathedral and worship again. Right? Now, if you can worship like that for a group of people that can do absolutely nothing for you, what can you bring to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords who has saved your life, giving you all eternity, and honor him? He's worthy. And if you study this game of football, you'll understand it's 4 15-minute quarters, but the only amount of action that takes place on the field is about 17 or 18 minutes. People will give their life for that. Now, I confess I enjoy going to games, and I confess I enjoy doing that, but that's my worship. My allegiance is to the Lord Jesus Christ. Do you bring God more allegiance than you do for that? That's what it means to worship in spirit. That's what it means to give God your allegiance. Like when we read things in the Bible, like clap your hands and sing to the Lord and all these different things, we sometimes say, well, I don't know. God wants you to bring whatever you have from the inside out that's authentic, which means sometimes when we're in church, it means that you should get down on your knees and kneel during worship. Other times it means you should come forward as if Jesus Christ is standing right here and just kneel before him and just give him praise and adoration. Sometimes it means you should stand. Sometimes it means you should clap. Sometimes it means you should raise your hand. Sometimes you should even be moving like, that was awesome, right? And you say, well, I'm just not that type of person. Oh, yes, you are. I've been to so many concerts in my life. I was just at one at Coors Field this week. 60,000-ish people that were there. As music was played, I saw people clap, sing, dance, move, groove, high five, and nobody was good at any of it. At least from where I was sitting. It wasn't like they had a skill in it. They were moved from the inside out. And yet when we come into church, we've been trained to be reserved. Don't do that in church. Don't clap. We're in church. God loves a cheerful giver. That's why offering is part of our giving. And even if you're like me and you give online regularly and stuff like that, I still clap for the offering because I'm praising God that I get to bring him something. The reason we include offering during our service, so you can bring God something. It doesn't matter how much you bring. It matters that you bring, that you're engaged in what you're bringing. Everything we're gearing on this platform is for you to experience and have an opportunity to worship the God who wants or has given you life. It's totally worth it. Worship fervently. Worship in spirit. But notice what else he says. He says this, worship in truth. It means point three is giving adoration that centers on the truth of God's word. Well, how should I worship? He tells us in his word. Now, give me an applause. How many of you believe that God's word is true? Give me an applause if you believe it. So in reading the Bible, it's saying, clap your hands, all you people. It means you can clap in church. Shout to the Lord. It means you can shout in church. Right? Amen. Say it louder. Amen. Yeah, you can do that. You're welcome to do that here. I want to take you back to Psalm 96. We could have gone to a lot of different places today. But notice what Psalm 96 says. I'll just read you a few verses from Psalm 96. First verse is this. Sing to the Lord a new song. How about that first one? Sing. 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 It means this. Some of you, I get the privilege of sitting over here and I get to see your faces, some of you, and I understand there's sometimes, and I do this too, sometimes when I'm reflecting on a song, I don't want to sing, I'm reflecting on the words, that's fine. I'm talking about you, especially you men, that I see come in here month after month, week after week, all the time, and you worship like this. Here's the command from God. You clapped. You said you believe this word. Sing. Well, I don't know how. Sing anyway. Sing anyway. Give God what he didn't give to you. Now, he may not have given you a great voice. It doesn't say sing to the Lord if you have a really good voice. It doesn't say sing to the Lord if you're a performer. It said sing. There's something different about singing than there is about speaking. Sing. Well, I don't want the people in front of me to hear. Let the people four rows in front of you hear. Sing. What are we supposed to sing? Sing to the Lord. Sing directly to him. What are we to sing? A new song. Pastor Jeff, I don't know that song. Yeah, because you're supposed to sing a new one. Do you know why you're supposed to sing a new song? Because God didn't just create one generation of people that had the market on what songs need to look like. It means God is birthing songs from all sorts of people. Do you know that I sing jingles to the Lord all the time that will never be recorded and I'll never sing in front of you? Sing. I'll sing about my marriage. I'll sing about my kids because there's something about singing. Sing the Lord a new song. It's not if you know it. It's not for the right style. And isn't it interesting if worship is the most important step after surrendering our life to Christ? We're the biggest fights in church about all the time. Worship, is contemporary? Is it, traditional? It's worship. I can worship with hymns. I'll hail the power of Jesus' name. Let angels prostrate fall. Bring forth the royal diadem and crown him Lord of all. Praise God. I can sing the church's one foundation is Jesus Christ, our Lord. He is our new creation by water and the word. From heaven he came and sought her to be his holy bride. With his own blood he bought her, and for her life he died. I know all the verses. I sing those songs. We sing hymns here. But some of you that are so rooted, oh, that's such rich theology, it's so good. Those new songs are like 7-11 songs. It's like you ring seven choruses 11 times. It's just so bad. Have you ever read the Bible? Read Revelation sometime in 4 and 5, where here's the repetitive chorus. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. Heaven and earth is filled with his glory. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. Heaven and earth is full of his glory. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. Heaven and earth is filled with his glory. There's going to be nobody in heaven that's like, dude, I'm so sick of that song. Get a new lyric or I'm not going. Sometimes it's those simple choruses that stick in our heart throughout the whole week. Both are true. Worship. Worship truth. Men, how about you? I'm just having fun with the guys today. I'm not a hand raiser, Pastor Jeff. I can't get there. Okay. You clap. You said you believe the Bible, so let's read it. 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 8. Therefore, I want the men. I want the men. Men, listen up. I want the men in every place, that's here in Denver, to pray, lifting holy hands without wrath or dissension. Who should be the one leading the hand raising in the church? Hey, men, it's us. Our wives and our kids should see us lifting hands and praying. It's not a feminine thing. It's a command from God to us to lead the worship of God. Amen? That's what God's called us to do. And so when we read the scriptures, it gives us depictions of how we're to do it. And guess what? You can do it any way you want. Nobody's going to come and buy your seat. Oh, you didn't lift your hand on that last song. Maybe you're not worshiping. I noticed you didn't clap hard enough during the offering. Nobody's looking at you. God is. And the question is, are you bringing him your best allegiance? See, oftentimes we think worship is simply this. We think worship is about getting us ready for the preaching. And worship can definitely elevate preaching, but preaching gets us ready to worship. See, in heaven, I'm unemployed. When I die, my career's over. You don't need me to preach in heaven. You got Jesus. But what's going to go on forever and ever and ever, and that I'm going to be part of, is the worship of the Lord Jesus Christ. Preaching is what stirs us in our soul so that we want to respond to Jesus. Can I say this? And I'm going to say this as a pastor. I want to say this as gently as I possibly can. I realize sometimes during worship service that at the very end of service, there can be a time I got to pick my mother up at the airport. I made a plan with a friend. We got to be at lunch by such. I get that. It happens from time to time. But how can it be every single week that when the preaching's done and God says, here's what I'm telling you, and I love you so much and you're awesome, that when it comes time to respond by worshiping God, you get up and turn your back and walk out that door? Like how? And I'll tell you why it grieves my heart as a pastor, because I sit and I say to myself, you stink as a pastor. Because if all you're doing is feeding your people Bible knowledge and they don't know how to worship and seek my face, I've failed as a pastor. The purpose of my preaching is for you to love God more so that you love him with your whole heart and so you want to explode with praise when the service is over. That's what it looks like. Not because you have to. Remember, it's not a rule like, oh, we can't leave church now till. No, it's relationship that you've been stirred so much on the inside out that you can't help but, God, I want to worship you. I want to give you all that praise that's been stored up in my heart while I've been listening to you. I want to clap. I want to dance. And I'll be honest, when I read about the dance in the Bible, a little uncomfortable with the public expression myself, right? But it's okay if that's how you feel. Nothing contrived, nothing you better, nothing I'm going to do this so people notice me, none of that. But from inside out, as you feel moved by the Holy Spirit to do that very thing. And here's how you know if you really are worshiping in spirit and in truth. If you are, you're giving God all the praise. If you're not worshiping God, and everybody's gifted to worship, if you're not worshiping God, then you're this. You're an idolater. Because everybody's a worshiper. You're worshiping something. I mean, I just wrote down a few things I think you can worship. I think you can worship your clothes, your house, your car, shopping, money, influence, prestige, vacations. It's the thing in your life that if it was taken away from you, you'd be angry. If someone took that from me, I'm angry. That's your worship. You know, you can worship your kids. You know, you can worship another person. If God took away my wife and my kids, I would be devastated. I would be broken. I wouldn't be angry. Be saddened, be devastated. I still love God, all right? What's that thing in your life? God took this away, I'd be so ticked. God took away my TV, there's no way I could even live. While we were on vacation, my kids would come to me and say, Dad, can I borrow your phone? Dad, can I borrow your phone? Mom, can I borrow your phone? I need to see your phone. Why? I wanna play a game. So I would start by saying, do you know that when I was a kid, I know, Dad, I know. You guys didn't even have cars back then and you rode to school on a horse. I mean, I know, Dad, I know. And I'm like, no, you don't understand. I'm like, do you see what you want to do? I'm like, you're always wanting to look at it and to see it and to touch it and experience it and engage with it. It's called worship. Quit worshiping the dadgum phone. That's what Jesus wants from you. Nothing wrong with a phone unless it's drawing your heart. If something in your life is drawing your heart, cut it off. It's idolatry. Start worshiping Jesus instead. That's what it means. God wants us to worship him and him alone. So what's choking out your worship? What's keeping you from giving God your best? That's the question here. So God worship wants people that worship in spirit and truth. That's what he's seeking. And then finally, it's this. Number four, giving adoration right now to the God who is seeking your worship. Giving adoration right now to the God who is seeking your worship. Notice what he says. The woman said, hey, I know that Messiah is coming. I've heard about this. He who is called the Christ. And when that one comes, he will declare to us all things. And Jesus said to her, I who speak to you am he. The word he there is in the translation, so we understand. He's saying, I who speak to you am. Here's what Jesus is saying. I am. Heard that before? How about in Exodus 3 when Moses said, who am I going to tell the Israelites that have sent me? And you tell them, I am who I am. What's Jesus saying? I have always been and I will always be. And I am the I am. I'm the great I am. That's who I am. And I'm standing right before you. So worship me like right now. It's not about the mountain. It's not about your denomination. It's not about your form. It's not about your practice. It's about the fact that allegiance from your heart bursts forth with worship. That's what it means. That's what it looks like. Right now, God is seeking your worship. He's seeking your worship. He wants your best. He wants your truth. He wants your spirit. Some of us want to know, well, what's God's purpose for my life? I mean, how do I experience God's power in my life? How do I know God's secrets in my life? Like, what's he really speaking? Worship him. It's while you minister to him, he begins to speak to you. Ministering is adoring him. My answers went to a whole new level when I started worshiping God. I prayed. I read my Bible. God was faithful. He's good. But when worship happened, it changed everything. And it don't matter where you're at. God moves when we worship. In Acts chapter 16, Paul and Silas were in prison. They were in prison because they were in a town where there was this woman who was a fortune teller. She was a person who was gaining profit for her masters, and she was annoying the heck out of Paul. Paul got so annoyed with her one day when she was saying, these are the men that are teaching the way of salvation. And after weeks of this happening, Paul turned to her and said, I command you in the name of Jesus, be gone. Well, the demon that was driving her life left. Her masters lost all their profit. They turned the whole town upside down, so they locked up Paul and Silas. And notice what happened in verse 22 of Acts 16. The crowd rose up together against them, and the chief magistrates tore their robes off them and proceeded in order to have them beaten with rods. When they had struck them with many blows and threw them into prison, commanding the jailer to guard them securely, and he, having received such a command, threw them in the inner prison and fastened their feet in the stocks. Here's what happened. They cast out a demon. Prophets went down in the town. They lock up Paul and Silas, but before they do, they nearly beat him to death. The jailer's told, put him in prison. He knows if they get out, he's in trouble. So he puts him in the inner sanctum, fastens their feet in the stocks. Now you think about this. You're in the inner sanctum where there's no toilet, there's no nothing, and you're tied to another jailer. It's midnight, you've been mistreated, you're beaten, you're hurt, you're tired. What happens? Notice this. I love this. Well, I don't know when church starts. It started right now. Because but about midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns of praise to God, and the prisoners were listening to them. And suddenly there came a great earthquake so that the foundations of the prison house were shaken. And immediately all the doors were open and everyone's chains were unfastened. And when the jailer awoke and saw the prison doors open, he drew his sword and was about ready to kill himself, supposing that all the prisoners had escaped. But Paul cried out in a loud voice, saying, "Don't harm yourself, we're all here." And he called for the lights and rushed in, and trembling with fear, he fell down before Paul and Silas. And after he brought them out, he said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" What's going on? After Paul was beaten, mistreated, mishandled, tortured, put in prison, he and Silas have a worship service that everybody hears. When that happens, everybody's chains fall off. People are asking, "How do I get saved?" Why? Because worship took place. It's worship. The purpose of Brave Church is to make better worshipers of God. Right? That's what we're called to do. That's what God's calling you to do. So here's the question. How will you respond? Because I know some of you are already looking at your watch. Like, man, it's been kind of a long sermon today. You know, I mean, I hope he's about ready to wrap it up and pray it up and we can get out of here, get on with our day. It's not what's going to happen. I'm going to tell you what's going to happen right now. On both campuses, we're going to sing two more songs. Because I just want to know that for some of you here that have heard God, perhaps you're chained up, or the person next to you is chained up, or somebody here needs to know the way of salvation. Like, how are we going to let God move and answer all those things? Through praise and worship. Now, you'll hear me sometimes, and I'll say this in church. Hey, the front is open. The altar's open. Like, what does he mean by that? Like, why does it take, if I just walk down the carpet and crawl, what difference does that make? Here's what it means. It looks kind of like this. Here's what I want you to picture for a minute. I want you to picture in heaven as if Jesus Christ himself came down here in all of his glory at the end of our service and stood right here and said, "You heard me. You've heard what I've said. What are you going to do with what I said? Like, I'm right here." I mean, I'm inviting our prayer team up here in just a minute. They'll be up here. For some of you, there's a sin you need to repent of. You just need to come by yourself. You don't need anybody else to pray for you. You just need to be present with Jesus. And it's an act of obedience to say, "God, I heard you. I'm going forward. I don't care what anybody else thinks. Like, I just want to get prayed for." Some people are like, I just need to know how to get saved. That's why the altar's open. That's why we do this. It's an invitation for those who want to respond to Christ. And it doesn't mean that every single week you need to run down. But there are certain times where God prompts you from the inside, get down there and start worshiping. You've been scared to raise your hands. I'm asking you to come forward and raise your hands in front of the whole church today. It'll change your life. Because the God I serve is worthy of all of our worship. And you were called here today to give him praise, not just hear a word and leave. Dear Jesus, we give you all the glory, honor, and praise for who you are this morning. And God, we would give you from Brave Church worship that is so deserving of your name that the angels in heaven, that the demons that are looking on will see that we're sincere about the worship we're giving to you, and that, Holy Spirit, you would draw our worship to the Son, and Son, the Father would be glorified through what we're bringing to you with all that we have. We give you praise and worship in Jesus' name. Amen. Can we give him praise this morning for who he is?
You're listening to Brave with Jeff Schwarzentraub and a message titled Religious to Relishing. We're in a 5-part series explaining the attitudes and actions of a true disciple of Jesus Christ, and you can catch up on previous lessons you may have missed at bravemedia.online. As we continue moving through our Disciple Shift series, we'll explore many changes God calls us to make in our journey of faith. So I hope you'll stay with us as Pastor Jeff defines what it takes to become a true disciple of Jesus Christ. Here at Brave, it's our mission to equip you and fellow listeners with clear biblical truth so you can grow closer to God and help others do the same. If you value these biblical messages and share our passion for spreading the gospel of Jesus Christ, why not make a one-time donation to support Brave? Your financial gifts help us continue producing and distributing these programs so we can reach new listeners in your community and across the country. Give today by clicking the Donate tab at bravemedia.online or by calling us at 360-552-7283. That's 360-552-7283. You can also send a check in the mail right to us at Brave Church, 3651 South Colorado Boulevard, Englewood, Colorado, 80113. And if you're looking for bold preaching, passionate worship, and authentic community in the Denver area, we encourage you to visit for weekend services here at Brave Church. We have 3 campuses located in Englewood, Westminster, and Colorado Springs. And then, of course, no matter where you're listening from, you can still join us through our weekend live stream. Visit bravemedia.online, scroll to the bottom of the page, and click the link for Brave Church for details and directions. And if you have any questions or a comment to share with Pastor Jeff, you can email us, hello@bravechurch.co. If you're on social media, check us out on Facebook or Instagram. Search for Brave Church Denver and tap the like or follow button. I'm your host, Bill Carl. We'll see you again next time on Brave with Pastor Jeff Swarzentraw. Today's program was produced and furnished by Brave Church in Denver, Colorado.